Very good. You know, one of the things too, you know, we talk about emotions and that, and I've certainly interviewed a lot of military people now. I've been a recruiter for 20 years, but is the emotional things that they're facing coming back to a family that maybe has been disconnected for some time. And so we have the readjustment to civilian life, and then you have the situation of high accomplishment versus lack of interest on the part of employers. And so we're dealing with issues such as your own worth, so to speak. Have you seen that? I know one of the things that we're wanting to do is provide some additional services in that area, but have you seen that as well in some of the
consultations that you've done? The ladies and gentlemen that come out of the service, especially the career veterans, one of the things that the employers, these private employers, probably don't realize is at the same time that this veteran is trying to present something of value to the potential employer so that they could be hired, there's also a home life, home front, maybe not a struggle, but maybe a bit of a disconnect there, because this, speaking from personal experience, one of the senior officers that I had with me in Iraq was going on 19 years of service, and he had been deployed for over 6 years of that. And so if you put all that time together, there was 6 years of time that the whole family dynamic had changed. His wife became almost a single parent during those times, and the kids had whole sections of their life where they didn't have their father around. And so all of a sudden, they come out of the military and they come back into their home life, and there's a bit of a, maybe not confusion, but there's a bit of a misstep there, because now he or she is here all the time and they expect to be in that role that they see themselves in. And sometimes they don't realize that the family's life was changed drastically while these people were deployed as well. They had to make sacrifices. They had to do things. And they're used to a certain custom of the way that they do things without him. And so there's really kind of a re-collaborating that needs to happen when someone gets out of the service. As strange as this may sound, when someone is going, you can kind of count on them being gone at least every other year, sometimes more. And now they're just there, and they're going to expect to play a role, and they're going to be who they're going to be. They almost feel like they're starting over. And that's why it's so critical when they go into the private workforce. They already feel like they're kind of starting over with their family. And to feel like their military accomplishments aren't enough for them to be respected, that's really, I mean, you're putting a lot of gasoline on possibly some warm embers there. And I've seen it go both ways, where someone had a very strong support group and pulled through. A lot of times the most difficult time after a career of service in the Marines or any military branch, or the most difficult time after a deployment, comes weeks later, not directly when they get home. And so with the high deployment rate of our military right now, some of these guys are getting back out of the field, coming back from downrange, and taking their walking papers and ending their careers all within a few months of each other. And when everything hits, they're in the process of looking for a job, and usually things are either going to fall together because of a nice support group, a well-put-together support group, or things are just going to fall apart. And if the employers knew that and knew what they were looking for, they could almost become a help to that person instead of making that person just feel like this is another card stacked against their deck.
Sure. You know, it's interesting. This is a little different slant, but I've worked with, as a recruiter, I've worked with a number of individuals that have been in sales. They've been in road sales, so they're gone, you know, five nights a week. Sometimes they're off, they're out for 3 weeks at a time, and then come back to the family. And I've had individuals that say, well, you know, I'm ready to get off the road. And they come back to a family that has been self-supportive in a lot of ways, where they come over, they come home, and they say, all right, I can run the checkbook now, I can do all this. And the wife or the other spouse, you know, depending on what the situation is, says, pardon me, I've been calling the shots here for, you know, 25 years while you've been on the road. I don't think so. And what we find is a lot of individuals that have been in sales or in road type of positions, field engineers, whatever the case may be, have the same issues in transitioning back into the home setting, because that home has been pretty self-sufficient without them. And now they're coming in and saying, I'm going to run the show or be part of this. And there's a transition that's really difficult to make. And even for some of these salespeople and road warriors, it doesn't work, and you know, very well. And so there's a transition that needs to take place there. And so I think one of the things that directional motivation, what we're trying to do is help people identify what are the issues, okay, and how do we work through that to help you guys make that transition. One of the things that we want to do, too, is provide chaplain resources as well to both families and individuals returning. To have, sometimes it's just a voice or a sounding board that you can go to that will provide an avenue or an outlet for you to get some of those emotions out as well. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Nolan?
I think that's fantastic. Like I said, when I got back, I had that. I grew up kindergarten through 12th grade in a private Baptist academy. And that support system was there when I was deployed. I got letters, and I got all that stuff while I was gone. And also, I was young. I didn't have a wife, and I just certainly didn't have any kids. And so that support system, when I got back, was waiting for me, and I didn't really have to go seek that out. And for that, I'm extremely blessed and very thankful. But that's not always the case. I think a lot of times when people get back, the support system that they've always had have been – or has been their husband or their wife, depending on which one was deployed, or even if the children grew up in the service and they use their parents as their support system, a lot of times when they get back, the dynamic of that support system has to change. And sometimes the support system isn't willing to let go of the commitment they've made, and mm-hmm. the service member, whether it's the husband or the wife, they're not really ready to settle into what their spouse thinks is their position. They've kind of seen it different this whole time. And in that position, in that situation, a third party that can say, hey, let's keep the communication lines open. Mm-hmm. Let's look at this from a position where we're both trying to get to a better spot for all involved. We're both trying to strengthen our relationship. We certainly have no means of or no desire to watch relationships fall apart after they've struggled and strained for 20, 25 years of military service. That's always a tragedy to see that. And so I think a chaplaincy outreach program with people who don't necessarily really want anything in return other than, hey, I've been there, I've done it, I've watched it take place, maybe I was a part of it myself, and I'd love to show you how this can work. Maybe some sacrifices need to be made on both sides, but it can work. It can work.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I want to mention, too, at this point that, Nolan, we've talked a little bit as far as the things that we want to do. We're certainly going to have on the Directional Motivation site a number of other resources that will be available to help with the transitioning process, that type of thing. Another part that we're going to do is free webinars for veterans and their families so that we will have call in, you can ask questions, that type of thing, to open up a forum that can help them vent a little bit or open up the lines of communication, things like that, and maybe give some helpful perspectives on how to overcome some of the situations that they're dealing with as well, which I think will be a very valuable resource, or could be, for veterans making this transition. You know, we talked a little bit about, or quite a bit about, the career 20-year types of people, but there's a crowd that I'm really concerned about. And I think I'm going to take this vantage point to address that, is those individuals such as yourself coming out, you know, went to, right out of high school, went into military. They probably don't have the formal education, or maybe they do have some education that they've obtained while in the service. But the unemployment rate is very high for this segment, 18 to 24 year olds. And is there some things that some advice that you might be able to give to those individuals coming out and to help them? Some things that that you might recommend?
Sure. Well, let me first say to the situation that we talked a little bit about more, the career guys, my advice there would be take a breath, slow down, and make sure that the relationship between you and your significant other or your support system is intact before you try to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be your lifeline. That's going to be your taproot, so to speak. It's going to connect you to where you were. You have somebody there that was with you and that stood by you and that felt all the things that you felt, and their heart was out to you when you were in places when no one else remembered you. That's going to be your grounding system there. And I'd say slow down and realize what you have there. But for the guys like me, for the ladies like me who they did 4.5, maybe 6, 8 years, they're getting out for whatever reason. I guess my advice to them looking back on what I did would be the same. Don't worry about going Mach 4 like you were. Find a mentor, find a support system, and make it so where it's okay to be vulnerable to somebody. It's okay to let down the walls to somebody that's close to you, somebody that understands, and then use them as your release. You have to have a release. You have to have a venting source. And then with that said, be willing to prove yourself. I know that for me that was hard. I had a Purple Heart. I had Valor Awards. I was even doing some mixed martial arts competitions in the Marines and in the different states while I was part of the service. And so to get out and for someone to look at me like they didn't know if I was trustworthy, that really was a shot to the pride. But if it's okay to lay the pride down, check your ego at the door, and make sure that people know that you're willing to do what you've been trained to do, really, which is be effective when you're given orders and to move your way up from the bottom. Don't expect a position at the table right away, and be willing to shed some sweat, get the job done the hard way.
Yeah, interesting you bring that up, because having talked to a number of veterans now, many are very concerned income-wise, and they when we talk, they're not willing to take a step back a little bit. And I think that's an area that we probably should talk about just for a second here, is that with the leadership, and what I've found in working with individuals is with the leadership and the maturity and the strengths that they bring, many times taking that initial step backwards, coming into the private sector, they might go into an hourly position for a while, but realizing that that's a job that is a springboard to get to a career. And a lot of times when I'm talking with these individuals, they're saying, I'm not willing to do that. Well, with our situation as it is, it's a tight market, and they may have to consider taking something at a lesser stage, prove themselves, let that employer see what makes them really different, and get with a company that's growing and does provide some of those resources for them to go up the ladder. I think makes sense, but what are your thoughts that way too?
I think that's right. I think if I could rephrase it just a little bit,
sure.
I think when you make the decision to end military service and enter the private sector, I remember being in the service and someone told me one time, it's easy for you to say you've never really had a real job. And I remember taking that very personally. I thought, I didn't see you out there in the sandbox with me, and I certainly didn't see you up in the mountains of Haiti with me. But when I got out, I realized that at some level they had not a point, but they had an idea, a disconnect that needed to be fixed. I had a job that very few other people were willing to do. And when you enter out of that world into the other world where now you have jobs that everyone's willing to do, they look at you and they say, well, just because you did whatever doesn't entitle you to anything in this world. And I had to accept that. I had to accept that as true, because even though I could be, and I was, I think if you read my record, a very effective Marine, if I would have came into the South Dakota State prison system, which was the first job that I had, with the type of mentality that I had as a Marine, that would have been a disaster. Hmm. And so I had to realize, all right, I went from a meritoriously promoted combat meritoriously promoted sergeant in the infantry for the United States Marines to a hourly paid correctional officer who had no seniority and all the bad shifts. And that was okay. That was okay, because if the training that made me effective in the Marines was still there, then it wouldn't be very long, and it wasn't. I think 6 months, I started to get the shifts I wanted, and I moved up, and the training comes through, and the commitment shines through. And it's always easier to prove your worth than to expect people to understand your worth right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that worth still comes down to has to be earned. And
exactly.
Regardless of where you're at, it has to be earned. You know, sometimes people say, well, they have to respect me. Nobody actually does have to respect you, and that part's still earned as well. And I've been recruiting for 20 years, and I can go to a new client, and I have to reprove myself totally. It's frustrating. You go through all the emotions that way. And yet, when I look at it and I think it from their standpoint, they don't know me. I have to prove that what I'm saying is true through my actions and through the things that that I can do for a prospective employer. The same thing is true here as well.
I have a non-commissioned officer stored in my office. It's framed mm-hmm. in a plaque, and there's a little inscription on the brass plate below it, and it says that it's earned, never given. And so mm-hmm. I always try to remember, hey, if I could earn that, I can earn everything else too.
Right, exactly. One of the things I would like to encourage our listeners is if you like what we're doing here, and if you like our heart and our passion behind directional motivation, we need you. And what I mean by that is we need advisors that can help us in reaching an audience, that can reach out, and you know, everything that we do with directional motivation is driven to help people. And so we're looking for people that have a heart and a passion to make a difference for others. And if you'd like to be part of our advisory panel, give us your thoughts and ideas, that type of thing, send us an email and let us know that. You can just contact me at russ@directionalmotivation.com and say, hey, I'd like to be a part of this. We'd love to have you, love to have your insights. You know, it can be as much or as little effort as you want, whether it's sometimes just an email and say, or connecting with somebody else or that type of thing. The other part is that we would like you to advertise for us. If you believe in what we are doing here, we'd like you to be our ambassadors to the military sector, to families and friends and that type of thing, and tell them to go to our site. That's what it's for, you know. And so we'd love to help. And we can only help those people that know about us. And so if you can take and reach out to others, we'd really appreciate it. Nolan, I just want to take this opportunity to really thank you. Your comments were wonderful. I think that as our audience listens in, hopefully there's some things that they can take with them that will help change their lives. That's what, you know, directional motivation is about. And I know, knowing you personally, that's what you're about. And we really, really appreciate having you today.
Fantastic. I enjoyed myself very much.
And I'd also encourage our listeners that we're going to be doing free webinars coming up. So if you go to the site, we'll have announcements coming up to some of the different things that we're going to be putting on for veterans as well. And Nolan, again, we thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Thanks.